You know, I'm really glad for the way worship went because God needed to calm me down. A couple of years ago, it might have been 3 years ago, I brought a message called Gethsemane Preparation. It's not an easy message. It was for us at the time, but it was almost more like it was to prepare us to enter it in an even bigger and deeper way right now. God brought that message back around to my attention a few weeks ago, and I just read through it, and I said, did I write this? I mean, God gave it to me, and I penned it, and I preached it back then. But as I reread it, it was just, it's from God. It's so from God that I'm going to attempt to just read it. And I don't know if I'll get away with that. If God moves to preach, I'll preach. But it stirred me. It just put me on fire a few weeks ago. And I asked God what to do with it. He told me to print only 25 copies. I said, well, God, we've been running 70 people. And he said, but this is a hard word. And you won't probably need more than 25 copies. So only print 25 copies. And when you're done sharing it, put out the 25 copies because I want those who want to participate in it to take a copy and go through it very slowly and prayerfully at home. It's not something you can hear one time and own it. Not something you can listen to and forget. But it is something, if you really want to live and own, you're going to have to take it home and you're going to have to stay in it and let God take you through it. So there will only be 25 copies. At first, my thought was we have 18 on leadership, so only 7 other people get one. And he said, oh, no, I didn't tell you to lay it out for leadership. You lay it out on a Sunday and 25 will get it. If leadership is fast, it might be them. If you're faster than them, it might be you. So we'll see. One's already gone. Harvey got one before it got out the door. So there's only 24 copies. I can't move that fast. She had surgery. I have, you know, we put out a prayer petition one time that laid there for months and barely gained any signatures. So I'm not really too worried about it. You better hear it before you decide you want it. I told you it's not easy. There are cheaters up here, yes. All right, now, you guys are not being nice. If you miss out, I'll reprint for you. Okay? So don't worry about that. I was on fire. I was so on fire when God restirred me about this. The things he was working on me back then, different now. He's working on different things now and more intensely than he did even back then. If you want to come get it now, I don't care. Just help yourself. But I was on fire 3 weeks ago. And I told the devil I was going to bring this message and nothing was going to stop it. And then you know what happened? Everything to stop it. So I went through a few weeks of sicknesses, issues, family issues across the state. Janiyah birthing the baby, and she had a surgery. She had the C-section, needed a lot of help, all kinds of different things. And then I got the flu. I was throwing up like crazy the other day. And, you know, my only prayer was, God, please, you know, help me stop throwing up. And then at the end of that, I was just drained. I was worn out. And I said, you know what? Maybe it's not time to bring this. I'm not on fire anymore, God. I just, you know, barely want to survive now, you know. So maybe it's not time to bring it. But just in case, I already printed them. I'll read it this morning and see what God does. Man, I was like just burning hot. I was just so hyper. I could hardly stand still. And I was in here praying and praying. And one thing I was praying, because I really think it was the Spirit, is I was praying, wouldn't it be awesome if people would just let God get free and they would get up and just set God free and they would come to the mic and they would say what he's saying and the worshipers would just sing till they couldn't sing anymore and everybody would just let God get free. And maybe this is long if I read this, but some people could go away, get a burger, come back later, and it would just keep going. And people would preach, and people would testify, and people would sing, and it would go on hour after hour, and day after day, and week after week, and month after month, and day, night of 24/7, somebody would still be up here singing or preaching or testifying. Wouldn't that be awesome? It would just never end. It would never end. And you'd be free. You know, we had that going for 3 months before, in our 4 months, in our house. People were slain in the spirit, laying on the floor, and we stepped over the bodies and went to bed. Music was playing. They didn't go home. We stepped over them and went to bed. We got up in the morning and said, they're still there. 4 months. Some of them left and came back and left and came back. But God says, you haven't seen anything yet.
Right.
You ain't seen nothing yet. Of all the moves of God that have ever happened, what do you think is going to happen in the end times? How big do you think he's going to go when it's the last call? Last call. He said we were going to do greater works than he did, and we haven't even touched a pinky of what he did. So who was he talking to? Was he talking, you know, I'm going to end with it, but I'm going to start with it. Was he talking to me? I'm 64 years old. I'm so old I can't remember how old I am. I keep trying to back it up and say I'm 63. I'm overweight. I can't even say I'm a housewife. I don't like to clean my house. But I'm certainly not a soldier. I'm not strong and, you know, I'm not like my daughter and my husband, cut my head off for the cause. I'm not a soldier. I'm a wimp. I'm shy. I'm quiet. I know you don't believe that, but it's only when Jesus is in me that I'm even friendly. I'm a recluse. I would hide in the basement with a paintbrush and never talk to any of you. I am shy. I'm scared to death of one-on-one with people. But when Jesus is in me, it's different. Yeah, I'm different. I'm free. I'm not the scared, intimidated little girl I used to be that hid behind mommy's dress. But I'm not a soldier. And you know what? You know who failed that night in the Garden of Gethsemane? Peter. Because he was young and strong and had his sword. And he said, I'm soldier and I will die with you. And he cut off the soldier's ear and he was ready to fight. And then he fell. Because you can't do it. You can't do it. Only God can do it.
Right.
So he weakens the strong because
right.
He's made strong in our weakness. Yeah. He is made strong in our weakness. So all I can bring him is my weakness.
Right.
My sinful nature. My weakness. By nature, I'm a quitter. I just go, I can't do it. I might as well quit. But that's what he wants, is us to bring us our willingness. So everything I'm about to read, it's not for the soldiers. It's not for the mighty. It's for you. It's for the average common people that know we can't do it. If you think you can do it, you still got to go through the breaking. You got to break all that pride out of you that you think you can do anything. This is for the humble, for the crushed, for the weak, to just allow him to do it. But we have to accept the preparation. I'm going to attempt to read this. We all want resurrection life in Jesus. We want to walk in oneness with him and let his powerful life flow through us. There's a pathway of preparation that leads to that resurrection power. It includes dying in order to rise to life again. But even before the dying, there's a preparation to die. That is what Jesus went through in the Garden of Gethsemane the night before he was crucified. The Lord had tried to lead his disciples into an awareness of what was about to happen, but they were not listening attentively. While Jesus warned them that he had to die, he was about to be persecuted and killed. They were distracted and dull of hearing. Jesus came to example how we should live. He did not walk in his power as God, but he came in the flesh of a man, yet without sin. He laid down his life, his entire life. He had no home, no wife, no physical beauty, and he spent himself for others. He never did his own will, but he sought and yielded to the will of the Father God. He laid down his life, and he laid down his life again and again, and finally, he laid down his life in death. This was the pattern that he set, and we are to follow. Yet his followers did not expect death to be the final lesson. They expected him to fight, to resist the enemy, and win the victory. They failed to realize that his death was the victory until they saw him rise from the dead. We fail to see that our death to ourselves is our victory. But after we go through it and we rise up in Jesus, then we get it. They heard what they wanted to hear. They held to what they wanted to believe. Some of us want that same thing. We think that since Jesus died for us, now we just get to walk in resurrection power. We don't want to hear that we have a death process to experience first, just as he did. He paid for all of our sins, and he gave us life freely. But if we want to walk in that freedom and power on earth, we too must defeat the powers of the enemy here. Of course, it's only through Jesus in us that we can do that.
Right.
Today, we hear the church talk about the last days with great expectation. They marvel at the promise of power, miracles, revivals, great things the Lord is going to do. And all of those things are true. You know, God is going to make some people young again. God is going to bring youth renewal. Old people are going to be 20 years old again.
Yep.
God is going to raise the dead. He's going to heal the blind. He's going to do those miracles. But they also accompany the laying down of our lives. We're entering a period of time where the church will face persecutions and sufferings as we get to lay down our life for the gospel of Jesus. Interesting how Tana shared that this morning. If all we focus on is the miracles coming and the power and the gifts of God, we are not going to be ready for the persecution. So, to the Garden of Gethsemane, The Lord God led his disciples. He took all but one, the betrayer, Judas. He led the others to the garden to be prepared. He took them to watch him as he readied himself for his own suffering and death. He took three of them a little further with him. He hoped just a few could endure the night, but even they were weary, and they could not fight their desire to sleep. I'm going to interject just a little here and there. There's a great desire to sleep in the church today. That's the Laodicean church that's lukewarm, to be complacent, to sleep, to rest right where they're at, not be disturbed, but to be comfortable. I'm comfortable.
But don't worry, we're not going to leave you comfortable.
I wanted to put, you know, just a little firecrackers under the chairs today, but God did calm me down. I'm comfortable. I'm very comfortable. I live in a nice house. I have a newer van. I tell myself I really, you know, I can't drive an old junker anymore because my knees are bad. I've been in a wheelchair twice, and I can't have a car break down. I can't get out and walk. I have a comfortable bed, a comfortable home. Air conditioning. I can't even imagine a hot summer day without air conditioning. I'm spoiled. I'm comfortable. But we can't sleep in that place. We have to be ready to stay awake and watch. Even the most determined Peter, who swore he would never deny his Lord, did exactly that. He denied Jesus three times. Our devotion, our determination will not be enough to keep us strong. We must allow him to prepare us.
Circle that. We must allow him to prepare us.
You know, I went through this, and I didn't want to read it word for word, so I tried to just yellow the parts, you know. And then I said, uh-oh, it's all yellow. I went through it again, and I tried to only use red pen, and, you know, it got covered in. I said, I can't avoid it. I just might as well read it. I can't find anything I want to skip. But that's what I want you to do with yours. I want you to go home, and I want you to highlight it and circle it and pray it.
Pray
it into your life. Claim it. Give God the surrender. When the songs are going on And some people are weeping and jumping and shouting and carrying. She was coming up and saying, I'm hungry, I'm hungry. What was the song saying? Hungry. Praise the songs. Pray them. Don't just sing them. Make them your heart. Pray that God does them for you. Would swing wide. The doors of heaven make room for the Lord. Start saying, God, come through those doors. Come on,
yes.
Jesus.
Yes.
Open me wide.
Yes.
Come here. Pray the songs. Pray these things. Circle them. Highlight them. Yeah. So Jesus, Peter, where are we at? What? Apart.
We must allow him to prepare us.
We must allow him to prepare us. It is only in his own strength that we will survive and prevail in the day of temptation and persecution. My husband and daughter used to say, they can torture me. They can cut my arms off. They can do anything to me. And I'm going, oh, man, if they twist my finger, I'm going to scream uncle. I can't take pain like that. I really can't. I can't imagine taking pain like that. And you know what? If this is long, I'll finish it next week because I have to stop where I have to stop. But one day I'm laying on the couch and I had a cramp. You ever get one of those Charlie horses in your leg? And oh, ow, you've got to get up. You got to stomp. You got to move it. Get it on a cold floor, wash rag, something. I got one of those cramps. And I've been laying there in God's presence and suddenly I get this cramp and he said, don't move. And I went, how do I not move? I'm in severe pain. He said, look at me. And I just focused on Jesus. And pretty soon I didn't feel any pain. And then he said, how's your leg? And I went, oh, it's terrible. But every time I focused on him, and I remembered Stephen, they were stoning him. It went away. And it didn't go away. I just forgot about it. And then I thought about Stephen. They were stoning him. They were throwing rocks at him, harsh, sharp rocks, enough to kill him. And he's looking up into heaven and going, I see Jesus.
Right. Amen.
You see, we can't endure it. We can't, but our faith grows. That little mustard seed begins to grow to say, God, you know I can't take it. You know I can't take it. But if you're going to put me in a position like that, you are going to be there. And you will be the grace. You will be the strength. It's the faith. It's not our ability. I'm losing my place again. So let's learn from their mistakes. Let's not be sleepy in our hour of preparation, but awake, alert, ready to hear the truth of his warnings about what's coming. He kept telling him it was coming. He didn't hear him. Let's allow his preparations to make us ready so we do not bring shame on our precious Savior by denying him like Jesus, like Peter did. Some in the church are already in a garden of preparation. Others are still approaching it. Those approaching are being told of what's coming, yet many are not listening. This is a time of awakening for us. We must have ears that can hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. As I study the book of Revelation, I see a repeated message to the churches. There's a process that leads us to a place where we can hear. Number one, Jesus told every church, hold on to what you have that is true. You must have a solid foundation of biblical truth to hang on to. Number two, repent. We're in a time of a deeper repentance as God is cleansing away addictions and sins and guilt and shame. He's even after the hidden things we thought could never change. And forgiveness is a great part of that process. God is taking us deeper and deeper and deeper if we let him, if we're willing. Number three, overcome. This is not necessarily about sin, but the belief systems we hold on to and woundedness and brokenness. We have to overcome the world, the distractions, the obsessions, and even our flesh and our desire for comfort and pleasure. There's nothing wrong with comfort and pleasure. I'm in it because God put me in it. We have a nice house. Jack Harvey has every man's dream. He's got the giant screen TV with a train that runs through three rooms and an office, computer, and all of his toys and junks. He's got more hunting gear. I mean, he could open a hunting store. and supply several men with his camel and his toys for hunting. I have pleasures. I have toys. I have computers and iPads and painting. I have a painting studio and all that junk. But you know what? Don't hang on to anything. We've lost it. We've had it, lost it. We've had it, given it away. We've had it. You know, you cannot outgive God. When he told us to give everything away, it was like tons more junk just kept coming back. And now I have so much stuff. It's like I keep trying to get rid of stuff because we have too much stuff. You know, I'll look in our store and say, well, that's a pretty glass, but I don't have any room for it, you know. I just have too much stuff. And you try to give something away, God gives you three back, you know. So I have it because he's given it to me, but I don't hold on to it. It could be gone tomorrow, and my faith won't be shaken one tiny little bit. It's been gone many times, and sometimes those are the best times. You get to see miracles because you need a miracle. You don't get to see that kind if you don't need it. Number four, hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The first three points, hold on to what is true. Repentance and overcoming these issues in your life will prepare you to be able to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. We cannot hear him because he isn't speaking until we're ready to hear him. So this is to every church in the book of Revelation. We cannot hear what God wants us to hear until we're prepared by the first three steps. Harvey's asked me to read it again. We cannot hear what God wants us to hear until we've been prepared by the first three steps.
Sorry. Okay. Did you get that?
You want your own mic?
Let's just read it again. We cannot hear what God wants us to hear until we are prepared by the first three steps. You want to know what God is doing. You want to know what God is saying. You want to know what God has for you right now. Hold on to what you have that is true. Break agreement with, ask God to show you what you have that you're holding on to that's not true so you can get rid of it. Did you get that? Repent.
I'm going to read Matthew 26. Listen as he's reading it. Listen for how many times Jesus tried to tell them the Son of Man will be betrayed and crucified. He made it very clear. He said, when they broke open the alabaster box, he said, she did it for my burial. I'm getting ready to die here. He said, Jesus said, all shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd and the sheep of the flock. Sheep of the flock will be scattered. If he walked in today and said, something is coming that's going to upset you and you're all going to run away from me and quit, wouldn't that kind of be a big word to speak? They didn't even take note of it. And then he said, after I'm risen again, they didn't notice that either. Peter, he heard it with his ears because he said, though I should die with you, I won't deny you. You're telling me you're going to die? Well, everybody dies sometime, right? He didn't think he meant right now.
Matthew chapter 26. And it came to pass, when Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said unto his disciples, ye know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. Then assembled together the chief priests and the scribes and the elders of the people unto the palace of the high priest who is called Caiaphas, and consulted that they might take Jesus by subtlety and kill him. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people. Now when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. You have the poor always with you, but me you have not always. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat. This is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine, until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Then saith Jesus unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, Though all men should be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me. And he went a little farther, and fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, I will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me.
It's hard to hear that and not jump ahead of where we're going, but I want to just go to page 7 if you took it, you know, because that's after all the reading of the scripture. Page 7, 6, 9? Oh, you're right. So some of the things we can learn from that. One is the oil press. The word, I'm not going to read the whole thing today either, so don't worry about that. The oil press, the word Gethsemane means oil press. And an oil press is used to get the richness out of something, such like olive oil, which was then perfumed and used to anoint the ministers. Jesus does not lead the heathen into the Garden of Preparation because there is no oil in them to be pressed out. The oil is the Holy Spirit. The oil is God Himself who's in us. And when we are pressed, that fragrant presence of Jesus comes forth from us. He leads us who possess this oil to release that sweet fragrance. He's speaking to his disciples. Not even every Christian. Not everyone in this room. Harvey and I used to hear that. We sat in a church, 250 people, and they would say, God is looking for one who will appoint him the time. And Harvey would say, I'll be that one. And I'd say, well, it's not just one. I'm going to be that one. You know, every time he would say, the world is yet to see what God can do with one. And I go, two. But there weren't 250 jumping up, saying three, four, five. There weren't. We were new Christians and we didn't understand, why isn't anyone else jumping up and saying, I'm the one? Well, you know what? Everybody won't go. Every Christian won't go. And that's okay. You know, the one who died on the cross by Jesus, he got saved that day and went straight on to heaven. My mom died and went straight on to heaven. She wasn't born for a time like this. But I was. And some of you were. Maybe some of you are just going to be comfy and go straight on to heaven. But some of you are going to let that oil be pressed in the garden of preparation and let that fragrance flow out of your life in these end days. Some of you are going to begin seeing kingdom living, that we don't live for this world and this life. We live for eternity. We live for, it's another whole life, another whole realm, another whole, not only a spirit, but a whole different way of thinking, a whole different mindset about living. It's not about these things. Everything here is temporary. God is eternal. You know all those other planets out there? They're not just to give you stars in the sky at night. They have purpose.
Right.
Why did God make them? Why did he even make Earth? We're not any bigger or as big as some. And he's going to make more. He's going to do other things. Wait, what if he made all those planets just to light stars in the sky for us? And then he's going to get rid of the Earth and do something different. Are we ready for eternity? Eternity is about God. Eternal. Love. Honesty. Goodness. There's purpose beyond anything we can imagine here. Far better than anything you can imagine here. It really doesn't matter what happens here except for our preparation for there. So we lose a child. So we lose a husband. So we lose a friend and they die. They just moved. If they know God, they just moved. And we have to wait a while before we get to move. But it's about his way of life, his way of doing things. That's why we don't need to be strong and carry swords, because our weapons are not carnal. There's something more powerful than swords. When Jesus spoke, soldiers fell down. Whoa! His word was so powerful, it knocked them down. When God speaks a kidney, there will be a kidney. Didn't you love that song? He spoke, he just breathed, and he brought light into the darkness. What's a kidney? Snap. He made the whole body. What's a kidney? Or two, you know? Amen. Better than any transport. What do you call it? Transplant. This was to the ones who were chosen. Who were chosen. Many are called and few are chosen. You're all called. To be chosen means you have to be willing to go through the preparation. These were to the chosen ones. To the chosen ones. Then Jesus comes with them. He's in the press with us. Jesus is in the press with us. Then Jesus comes with them. He is in this difficult place with us. Even though it may seem like he's abandoned us, it's his plan for us and he is there with us. The Lord works in each person accordingly. To some he said, sit here. And to others he took further. Most of the disciples were told, sit here while I go pray. Three, he said, let's go a little further. And you sit here. Are we even in the 10 that sat here? Are we in the 3 that sat here? Can we get to be the one that would actually go further? Because the 3 didn't go. They didn't go further. He knew what each one needed for his plan for their life. Your press, your oil press is different than mine. You're not going to go through what I go through, and I'm not going to go through what you go through. My preparations are different than yours. I've already faced death of a child. I've faced death of both my parents and my sister. I faced the backstabbing of friends, the losses of property, divorce, abandonment, stepdad who hated me growing up, physical abuse, sexual abuse, rape, molestation. I've faced all those things. And you know how I see them now? Preparation. Just preparation. Those things don't scare me. Because what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Poverty doesn't scare me. Been there. Not having any food doesn't scare me. Oh, I've got some stored up. Those things don't scare me because I've already lived through them in my preparation. But what is your preparation? And are you looking at the hard things as preparation? Or are you just griping about them, complaining about them? Why me? I thought God loved me. I don't think God likes me anymore. What have I done wrong? Why am I being punished? You're not. You're being prepared. If you've surrendered your life. If you haven't surrendered your life, you're still being pursued. Are you being pursued? Or have you entered the side of being prepared? He knew what each person needed for the future he had planned. He thought these three were the ones who said they wanted to go further. Now, remember that Peter declared, I would die with you. I would never deny you. So he would die with them one day. John and James desired to sit on the thrones with Jesus, and the Lord asked them, are you able to be baptized with the same baptism that I would be baptized with? They said, yes, we are, Lord. You know, a lot of times we throw up that hand to volunteer because we don't have a clue what we're volunteering for. And then when it comes, we gripe and complain, want to change our mind and, you know, check out of the plan. It's kind of like the army. My son joined because he wanted to be a soldier. And then he said, oh, Mom, if they only would have let me call you during basic training, I would have been saying, Mom, get me out of here. I hate it. It's horrible. But then he made it to the end of basic training, and he came home a man. A little bit too much, the soldier man. You want to beat everybody up, you know. But he got over that pretty quick. But we want to quit. When we're in basic training, we want to quit. But if we finish the course, then we're just praising God. I got through that preparation. And now I own something that others don't even know about. But there is a stopping place in all of us. A place where Jesus goes further and we cannot. We need to become aware of what it is in us that is our stopping place. Sit here. God says, sit here. When we find the place where you're weak, we find the place where you're hurting, we find the place where you need to be strengthened up and prepared, God says, let's sit here a while. This is your sit here place. Let's look at it. We can't go further. What is our weakness? What is our limitation? How much do we want to go further? For each disciple, there was a chosen place where he said, sit here. And to each of us, there's a time and a place. He says, here is your place where you must be crushed to release the anointing oil that I have put in you. This is your place to sit, to wait, to endure, to prepare to go further for the plans I have for you. That place is not only physical, but it could be a chosen period of time. It is both time and physical and eventual. It's inside of us. It's a place that's inside of us. That place he's pointing out where we need to pay attention. At the time I wrote this, I was dealing with insecurity. It had a big stronghold in my life. There were things I just could not do. I was too insecure. You know, I used to not be able to go to the doctor when I was sick because I couldn't remember what was wrong. I was so terrified of doctors. I was terrified of all men in authority. I was terrified at preacher's meetings. And I couldn't stand up and speak or give a testimony or do anything. I was so insecure. And back when I wrote this, God came against that insecurity. I had to take some steps of faith and obey him. We kicked out the spirit of insecurity and conquered it. Now when I feel insecurity tempting me, I just tell it no. I'm going to do whatever God says, scared or not. I don't care. I'm doing it. I obey God. And grace comes in and insecurity leaves. See, I conquered that one. I conquered fear. I conquered certain things. God wants you to conquer some things. We're going to finish this page here. In 1 John 1:9, we're told that once we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I saw that insecurity when he shined on his light as sin, and I repented. Before, I thought it wasn't my fault. Situations of life had made me scared of people. But when I realized it was a spirit, and I allowed that spirit to rule in me, I confessed it and said no to it. I repented. And God cleansed me of it. But I have to stay in the awareness of the attacks that come back. I had to accept, I had accepted many lies that had rooted and grown and had offshoots and belief systems. And I have to tarry, sit here in a place of awareness of my weakness until it's conquered. You can't hurry it. You can't hurry it. You can't sit down in one day and say, I will conquer this place. It's a process. And that's why we're going to stop at that point today. I want you to go home and I want you to pray and ask God, what is my sit here place? What is my weakness? What is maybe my sin? Do I have an addiction? Do I have a sin? Do I have something unconfessed? Do I have a controlling sin in my life? It doesn't have to be in action. It could be in thought. It could be in your heart. It could be condemning and judging other people. It could be gossip and slander. It could be lust. Others don't even know you're lusting. It could be all kinds of things. It could be covetousness, jealousy. Confess it and invite God. Do whatever it takes. Expose it in its ugliness and get it out of me. I will sit here in an awareness of it and let you deliver me from it. I will confess it. You cleanse me. Well, you think I can't stop. I can't get over it. You're right. You can't. I couldn't get over the simple little thing of smoking cigarettes. And that's not even necessarily a sin. But God had told me to quit and I couldn't do it. So it was disobedience. So I asked him to make me. And you all know my testimonies. He made me do what I couldn't do. And it was gone. Confess it. Agree with God. And invite him. You do whatever it takes. I want to be free from this thing. Maybe it's not a sin, but maybe it's just an issue. Maybe there's just something in you that needs to be dealt with. A belief system. Something. Maybe it's healing. Maybe you've got things inside of you from the way you were treated or hurt. And you need healing. God will bring you to a place of healing and stay in that place for a season. He's so good. I've had so much healing. He's just delivered me from all the pain of all those things in my life. There's no self-pity left because self-pity is another bad spirit. I rejoice over the healing. You know, there's women who don't have a husband. God says when you don't have one, he'll come be your husband. You don't have a mom and dad. He said, I will be your mom and dad. And he's better than the one you could have had in the flesh. No self-pity, just healing. And maybe it's because he wants you to do something you don't want to do. Maybe it's obedience. Whatever your place is, I want you to take this home. You can read the whole thing, but come back to this page and say, God, what is my place right now? Because I want to be a part of this preparation. And I'm going to tell you one that we never fully get delivered from, too. But they're both rooted the same, is pride. Pride has so many faces. It's either boastful or it's scared. I don't want to be seen, so I'm not going to stand up. Or I want to be seen. I have so much to show and share. You know, show and tell. Pride is always attacking. Selfishness, always attacking. We're all fighting those all the time. Ask God to unmask them and show you them in their total pure ugliness. It's so easy once our eyes are opened. We don't like it in anyone else. But for some reason, we like it in ourselves. We like to feel good about me, but we sure don't like the other guy who thinks he knows everything and thinks he looks so good. Then nobody else likes it in us either. Pride is so deceitfully ugly. Very ugly.